Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. And while you are getting there, let me begin by encouraging you all to listen attentively to what I am about to say. Are you ready? Alright. I'm gonna start talking Jen Alpa real quick. Loki, wanna see if you'll catch the vibe or not? If you get it, props born 2013 plus. If you lost right now, that means you're an OG for real. Why did I speak like that? Because that's how many young people speak today. It's their way of connecting to one another. If you understood me, you're probably part of that generation. If not, that's okay. It just means that we speak a different language. But for a moment, I wanted you to feel what it's like when someone speaks about something and you don't quite understand. Because that's what exactly happens when Jesus spoke in parables in the Bible. Some of these parables are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And that's where I ask you to open your Bible, Matthew 13. And over the next few months, we'll walk through some of them together whenever I preach. And today, we begin with the parable of the sower, which is found in the sermon text we have today. But what is a parable? Now, some people would compare parable to fairy tales because they teach moral lessons. If you ask a child what Cinderella or Snow White teaches, they would easily say, be humble, be patient, one day your true self will shine. But parables, especially the parables of Jesus, are not same as fairy tales. The parables of Jesus are powerful, relevant stories that invites the heart to respond to its moral truth or the spiritual lessons that it presents. This is why Jesus told stories about farmers, he told stories about seeds, lost sons, and hidden treasures. Stories that people know, so that it leaves everyone to question themselves of which path to take or what crucial life decision to make. These are the parables of Jesus. But even when the good news of Jesus Christ is preached plainly, not everyone believes it. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13 will help us understand the reason. This parable shows that God's kingdom belongs only to those who truly listen, understand, and believe the words of Jesus Christ. And that will be the main idea of our passage. God's kingdom belongs only to those who truly listen and believe the words of Jesus Christ. And I invite you to do the same thing. When you hear the message of Jesus, let's not only hear it, but believe it and live by it. So let's read Matthew 13, 1 to 23. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen. Then the disciples came up and asked him, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" He answered, "Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak to them in parables, because looking, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand." Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, "You will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. For these people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see the things you see, but didn't see them, to hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root and is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown." Praise be to God for the reading of His word. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you might help us understand your word by the help of your Spirit. Oh, help us, Lord God, to see the beauty of Jesus Christ. Help us to love him so that we might humble ourselves, hate our sins, and run after your love which is in Christ Jesus. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we dive into the parable of the sower, let's try to understand the context of Matthew 13. By Matthew 13, Jesus had already shown many signs to the people who are following him, signs of who he is. He told John the Baptist, the followers of John the Baptist in Matthew 11, to tell John what they hear and see, to reassure him that Jesus is truly the promised Messiah. Jesus healed the sick, he gave sight to the blind, he raised the dead, and shared the good news of his coming. And by Matthew 12, people are dividing over Jesus with one question found in Matthew 12, 23. It says, "Could this be the son of David?" Now, this growing divide is something that Jesus highlights in his parables that we can see in chapter 13 of Matthew 13. That brings us to the parable of the sower. Some commentators like Augustine have called it that the parable of the sower is the parable of the parables. Because it lays the foundation for all the other parables that Jesus tells in this chapter. And that foundation is the Word of God received by people, believe, and live accordingly. And that will be the main division of our sermon today. Hearing the Word, believing the Word, and living the Word. You can find that outline in your bulletin. Now let's look at the first three verses of our text. It says that on that day, Jesus went out of the house, and he was sitting by the sea. And then these crowds gathered again, sat down, and listened to him. He sat down on the boat and then started teaching. But then he began to teach them by telling them parables. We can read that in verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying, and then he stated the parable of the sower. The first word that we can see that Jesus said is consider. Consider or pay attention. So Jesus was telling, pay attention to what I am going to tell you. Pay attention to what? First, pay attention to the sower. Look at verse 4. The sower, verse 3, the second line of verse 3. The sower went out to sow. And Jesus points his ear to the sower because he wanted them to see that the sower went out and did his job. He sowed his seed. And what else do we need to pay attention in this parable? The next one is pay attention to the ground. Look at verses 5 to until 8. This describes the different kind of grounds that we can see in this passage. It shifts our attention to where the seed lands. It doesn't all fall on good soil. Some fall on the path, some on the rocky ground, and some among the thorns, and some on good soil. So what's the point of this paying attention to the kinds of soil? Here's it. Every kind of ground has a chance to receive the seed. The sower gave them a fair share. Next, pay attention to the results. Jesus wanted them to see what happens to the seed. On the path, the birds eat it. On the rocky ground, it sprouts but dies in the heat of the sun. And among thorns, it got choked. But on the good soil, it grows and produces fruit. Some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. So what is Jesus trying to emphasize here? He's trying to emphasize that only one kind of soil produces lasting fruit. And finally, Jesus wants them to consider his call, to pay attention to his call. He steps outside the story and says, let anyone who has ears listen. And what's the point of Jesus here? Jesus is urging people not just to hear a story, but to understand its meaning and respond. Now, if you are one of the people sitting there and hearing Jesus, what do you think is the lesson of the parable of the sower? Now, before we answer this question, I want us to look at some parables that we can find in the Old Testament and help us to see how parables should be understood by people who hear them. Remember when Prophet Nathan told King David in 2 Samuel 12 a story about a rich man who stole a poor man's lamb. David was very angry at the injustice. Then Nathan said, "You are that man." And the parable opened David's eyes into his own sins, and he repented. Now, another parable in the Old Testament was told in 1 Kings 20. A prophet came to King Ahab in disguise. He told King Ahab that he failed to guard a prisoner, causing himself to be punishable by death. And what did King Ahab said to him? "Well, you brought that judgment to yourself." Then the prophet revealed the truth to King Ahab. "This story is about you. Because Ahab had disobeyed God by letting a wicked king go free. But unlike King David, Ahab didn't repent. He went home with a heart harder as before. And it led to his downfall. Now let's go back to the parable of the sower. If we observe this parable carefully, it should steer our hearts to ask meaningful questions. Just like what happened to King David and King Ahab. They reacted when they get the point of the story. So what are the helpful questions that we can ask in the parable of the sower? I will give you three questions. Number one, why does the sower scatter seed on all types of soil? Isn't he being too generous, knowing that some of this will not bear fruit? Second question, what kind of soil is truly ready to receive the seed so that it will not be wasted? Third, how can the other types of soil be changed? How can they become a good soil? Aren't those questions helpful in analyzing the parable of the sower? But as we've seen in the two parable examples I gave from the Old Testament, not everyone responds the same way to the parables given to them. Some people make excuses, or sometimes some people would shift blame instead of seeking the right solution. For example, some people would blame everything else. "It's not the fault of the soil. It was the birds. It was the sun. It was the thorns. They are the one at fault." And some other people would blame the sower. "Hey, if the sower hasn't scattered seed, the soil wouldn't be at fault. It will remain as is." And this is the kind of response similar to King Ahab's. A heart that is harder than before. Instead of being moved by God's mercy, these kind of people harden their hearts. So what message can this crowd get again from the parable of the sower? Let me summarize them for us. It's not blame or excuses, but a humble heart that says, "Lord, if I am one of the soils in this parable, then please break up the hard places, pull out the thorns, deepen the shallow parts, make me fruitful for you." That is the kind of response that this parable invites. Isn't the parable of the sower beautiful? And notice how Jesus ended this parable in verse 9. He said, "Let anyone who has ears listen." And you know, this wasn't the first time Jesus was saying these words. Back in Matthew 11, Jesus said the same thing to the crowd when they refused to believe John the Baptist's message about him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:15, "Let anyone who has ears listen." So we can see now in Matthew 11:20, after some time, Jesus began denouncing the towns where he had done most of his miracles. Why? Because after seeing his miracles, they still didn't repent. In other words, parables comes to us to steer our hearts to give the right response. And if we don't give the right response, we invite God's judgment. So today, let's take a moment to think on how we respond to the message of Jesus Christ whenever we hear it. And I want us to consider these questions. When you read or hear the teaching of God's Word, do you ask questions for you to understand it? Or whenever there are hard things that you hear in the preaching, how do you respond to it? Church and dear friends, these words of Jesus Christ are not only for this crowd, but also for us today. Let anyone who has ears listen. Now, this invitation probably has made the disciples concerned. They must be wondering how the crowd will understand Jesus if he keeps on speaking in parables. So in Matthew 13:10, they asked him, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" So Jesus' answer will be surprising. Let me give you in a nutshell what Jesus responds on our next passage. The parables of Jesus exposes who truly believe God's word. So let's go to our second point, believing the word. Look with me in verse 10. The disciples came up and asked him, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" And so Jesus answered them in verse 11, saying that God has graciously given the disciples understanding about the secrets of God's kingdom. But that same understanding wasn't given to the crowd. And with this, Jesus wanted the disciples to recognize that God is gracious. They had received gifts that others hadn't. But he also wanted them to humbly accept that God, in his sovereignty, decides whoever receives faith and who doesn't. Look at verse 12. It makes it very clear that God decides whoever has more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So God is sovereign to decide whoever he will give his grace. As Job said in Job 1:21, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Now this truth may surprise some today, but for the disciples, especially those who are born in Israel, it was a familiar part of their faith. Because the scripture, like Genesis and Exodus, shows that God chose a people for himself among many nations. So God is sovereign over us. And over he is the one to decide. However, Jesus didn't stop there. He also wanted his disciples to understand that God's sovereignty doesn't excuse unbelief. In verse 13, he explains that the parables reveal the crowd's spiritual blindness. Look with me in verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15 of our passage. You will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. These are the exact words. These words are the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 6. This is what we read. This is what Romana read a while ago. In Isaiah 6, 9 to 13, it was said that you will listen, listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. Jesus said, the heart of these people has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. He continuously allude or reference Isaiah. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would heal them. And just like the people of Judah who were judged by God for hardening their hearts, the crowd that is listening to Jesus was also under judgment for hardening their hearts. Their hearts were hard, so they couldn't understand what Jesus was teaching. Jesus spoke in parables because God has given them over to their unbelief. Isn't that a terrible thing to happen to a person? Now, there's a difference between Isaiah's ministry and Jesus, though they are connected together. Because when Isaiah heard God's judgment on Judah, and he asked, how long, Lord, will I preach to these people who will not listen to me? God answered him, until cities were ruined and the land left desolate and burned. But even in that miserable picture, God gave a small hope. But Isaiah didn't only see it. He didn't see it happening in his day. Isaiah 6:13, the holy seed is the stump. And as Isaiah continuously prophesied, we can read in Isaiah 11:1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And from that moment on, God's people, the righteous ones, and all the prophets began to wait for this shoot, for this branch, the hope that would grow from Jesse's stump. And look with me now in verse 16 to 17 of our passage. Matthew 13, 16 to 17. What did Jesus say there? Blessed are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see the things you see, but didn't see them. To hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. The stamp of Jesse is now before their eyes. And the disciples were given understanding so that they would see Jesus for who he is. Even the Apostle Paul, who was once opposed to the gospel, came to see that Jesus is the branch from Jesse's stump, the one who bears fruit. We can read that in Romans 15:12. So Jesus didn't speak parables, not seeing the bright side, unlike Isaiah, but he also brought salvation to those whom God was giving understanding, whom God is saving. Though his words were hidden in parables, God gave understanding to those who truly listen, and they are his disciples. And how did they understand? It is through the Son of God teaching them his words. His parable exposes a clear truth. God's kingdom belongs only to those who truly listen and believe Jesus' words. Now, this reminds me of when I first learned to play chess. I know Josiah will be happy to hear about this small illustration. Before learning chess, I was just watching my cousins playing. I don't understand much. I would ask them questions like, why does the pawn move one space sometimes and two other times? Or how can a knight or the horse jump over the pieces? It was all confusing. But once I learned the rules and how each piece moves, I started to enjoy the game. I discovered strategies of openings, mid-games, and end-games. And the more I learn about it, the more I love this game. And the more I love it, the more I play it. The gospel is similar. Some will hear about Jesus and walk away and thinking it's not for them. But others catch the beauty of the message of Jesus Christ. They begin to believe that God forgives sin through Jesus, who died in our place, and they will want to follow him more. And in Matthew 13, people hear Jesus' teaching through parables. But today, church, dear friends, the message is very clear. Jesus is Lord. He died to take away your sins. He rose again to give you forgiveness and eternal life for you who will believe. So repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the message of God's kingdom. Very clear. Not hidden in parable. But the result is still the same. The gospel message of Jesus Christ reveals the condition of everyone's hearts. Some are hard, others are softened by God to believe. The gospel shows who truly belong to God's kingdom, those who listen and believe the words of Jesus Christ. Now, this passage teaches three important truths about the proclamation of the gospel or the proclamation of God's word. The first thing that we can learn here is that God is sovereignly gracious. R.C. Sproul once said in his that his favorite word in the Bible is the word but. We can find it in Ephesians 2, 4 to 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. And if you're a Christian today, it's not because you are a better person. It's not because you are smarter than anybody else and can understand things. It's not because you are holier than others. It's because God has graciously given you understanding. Just like the disciples who didn't understand it at the first time and asked Jesus, "What's the meaning of your parable?" It's all the grace of God given to us. And so this truth should humble us. Christian, the proper response to that truth is to be thankful that God has opened your eyes to believe his word. But the second truth this passage teaches us is that people are responsible for their own response. And so if you find yourself resisting God or blaming him, excusing yourself, I urge you to turn from your rebellion. Ask God to be gracious to you because he is sovereignly gracious. But if you don't, learn from Judah in Isaiah's day and from the crowd in Matthew 13. Because of their hard hearts, God gave them over to their unbelief. The third thing that we can learn about this is that we are entrusted, church, we are entrusted with the secrets of God's kingdom. No matter what the outcome, we must keep on proclaiming the gospel so that people may believe and be saved. In Acts 28, one example that I can give you is Paul. He shared the gospel to the Jews in Rome. Some of them believed, and others didn't. And so Paul again quoted Isaiah 6, saying that this message will now go to the Gentiles because of your hardened hearts. And thanks be to God, because of that occasion, with the sovereignty of God, the gospel has now reached the Gentiles. And those are us. But what can we learn from Paul? Paul didn't leave Rome in frustration. He stayed there and kept preaching boldly without hindrance. Why? Because he trusted that it is God who opened the hearts and not him. So if you're a Christian, know this. God opened hearts to believe. If you have someone whom you love who still doesn't believe today, pray to the Lord for the Lord to give that person a softened heart so that whoever, maybe you or other else, would share the gospel message to him, he might believe. Share the gospel and trust God for the results. So far, we have seen how God graciously gives people opportunities to hear his message, often through stories that stir curiosity. We've learned that understanding comes from God, and that they that he give people sometimes to their unbelief. Now, in the final section, Jesus explains his parable plainly to his disciples. We'll see that the condition of the heart determines whether the word would produce lasting fruit. God's kingdom belongs only to those who hear, believe, and respond. And that response is living by the word. That will be our third point, living by the word. Look with me in verses 18 onwards. Jesus said, "So listen to the parable of the sower." Notice that in the explanation of Jesus, Jesus identifies himself as the sower. Because he said in verse 19, "When anyone hears the word about the kingdom," who's the one who's proclaiming the words about the kingdom? It was Jesus. So Jesus compares himself to be the sower in this parable. And then he compares the seed to the message of God's kingdom, the word that he is proclaiming to all the people. And although he calls this the parable of the sower, his emphasis is more on how people pay attention, on how they, his emphasis to his disciples is how people receive his word. Now let's look at his explanation so that we would see that the response to Jesus' message depends on the kind of heart it falls upon. And based on that, the results vary. And so here are the clear categories of the hearts that Jesus describes. First, a hardened heart. Look with me at verse 19. "And the one sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it." Verse 19. "When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path." So he compares the soil, the seed that fall along the path, that soil, into a hardened heart. Jesus says that the evil one, or Satan, quickly snatches away what was heard. This happens when people refuse to accept God's word. And because they reject the truth, they become an easy target for the lies of Satan. And as he always does, Satan distorts the truth for those who resist it, making them even less likely to receive the word of God in the future. And so the heart that is hardened continues to be hardened. The seed of God's word never takes root. The second heart is found in verses 20 to 21. It is the heart that is uncommitted. Look at verse 20 to 21. Jesus says that some people will hear the message about the kingdom and then receives it with joy. He compares them to the rocky soil. These individuals may even wrestle with truth, just like the people in Jesus' day when he was here on earth. They were asking the question, could this be the Messiah? At first, they respond with emotion and excitement, and that's why they are following Jesus. They follow Jesus because they were drawn in his miracles and not in his teachings. But when the cost of following him shows up, and that is suffering or rejection by the Pharisees or persecution by the Pharisees, their commitment got tested. Many choose fear over faith. They would rather avoid discomfort than stand firm in the truth. That happens exactly when Jesus was taken by the Pharisees, by the people to crucify him. Jesus explains that the message never truly took root in their hearts. So when trial comes, they fall away from the word that they once received with joy. The third kind of heart is an unfaithful heart. Look with me in verse 22. These are the ones sown among the thorns. Jesus said that sometimes we might believe that, you know, some people do receive the message and seemingly responds with faith, but without a continuing growth or perseverance, as we call it, there's no final evidence that they truly believe. Jesus said that the influence that draws them more is not his message. It's the cares of this world. It's the wealth of this world. The word that was received by these people is choked. And the one that thrive are the ones other than the seed of God's word. Now, if we think carefully, all of these three actually just belong to one category. And that category is the unbelieving heart, which places the last category into a heart that is filled with faith by God. That's the last category of the heart. A heart filled with faith. Look with me in verse 23. In verse 23 of our passage, the one sown on the good ground, this is one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. The seed, the word about the kingdom, is not only received, but it takes root and it produces harvest. These are the people, as we saw in the second point, have been given by God understanding. They heard the truth, they believed it, and they choose to live by it. And notice also that Jesus doesn't explain why the fruitfulness varies, because some produce 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, one possible reason in this, as we may see in other parts of the scripture, is that God gives a varying measures of faith to each person. But the most important thing here is that there is an evidence that they truly receive God's word. And that is the fruit that they bear. Now, as some of you may know already, I grew up in a place where farming is common. It's always amusing when I have some city friends who are visiting us. One time, I have a friend who looked at a pineapple and discovered that the pineapple grows on top of the leaves. She was so amazed. Without that fruit, she might think that that plant is an aloe vera. Now, the point is this. People often recognize a tree by its fruit. Without fruit, it's hard to tell what kind of plant or tree it is. And in the same way, it's hard to tell truly if a person believes Jesus if he is not bearing any fruit of the Spirit, like perseverance, hope, joy, peace, understanding. It's remarkable also that in verse 18, Jesus doesn't call this the parable of the fruit, the parable of the soil, or he called it the parable of the sower. Even though much focus is given to the condition of the soil, it's ultimately about the sower. This is important to know because the parable is meant for people to reflect on the kindness of the sower. Because even the good soil cannot produce fruit on its own. It needs the seed of God's word that must be planted by the Holy Spirit in the hearts of each people. This tells us that salvation is by grace. No amount of goodness, generosity, church attendance, fasting, or prayer can earn God's favor. It is only by His grace, received through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, forgiving us and giving us life to share with Him eternally, to enjoy Him forever. Church, this is the parable of the sower. So let me leave you four questions before we end this message. What is the condition of your heart towards the Word of God? Are you trying to enter God's kingdom by your own effort or by the grace of God? Have you invited others to speak truthfully in your life? Can they see the fruit of the Spirit in you? And if godly people were to say that they're unsure that you're a Christian or that you truly believe, would you humbly ask God to change your heart and allow His church, who is the one currently bearing the message about God's kingdom, to sow the word into your life by the power of the Holy Spirit? Know that you need God's grace. You need eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands, so that when you hear the word, you will believe it and live by it. Jesus said that anyone who has ears, listen. Let's pray.